Hello, friends from the internet, and welcome back to Aleli. Hello, friends. I know it's been a while. I know I've been a bit lost this past month, but I'm sorry. Life happens. I have so many stuff to do. So that's why I decided a new decision about this podcast, because I'm really getting a lot of work in my life. So I think I will reduce the quantity of episodes per month. So maybe it will be 2 episodes per month or 1 episode per month. I am still deciding on that. But yeah, so like I will reduce it so that I could have a life, you know, because I have a full-time job. I have some other projects that I want to do. That way I have time for everything and I'm not burning myself. You understand me. But well, we are back once and for more for another new episode. And as I promised you before, this one is a cheery episode. It's a nice, cool movie that you can watch with your children if you have children. If you don't, don't worry. You can still watch it by yourself. So, the one and only movie of this episode is Chicken Run. Yes, we all love chickens. This movie is amazing. So guys, go get comfortable, go for a walk, run, whatever you do when you're listening to the podcast, get your tea, your coffee, your milk, your water, whatever you drink, whatever you do, and get comfortable and let's start! Life on Tweety's chicken farm is far from pleasant for the inmates. Ginger the hen's various attempts at escape have failed. But when Rocky, the famous flying rooster, crash lands in the farm, she sees the chance she has been waiting for. Rocky can teach everyone how to fly, and they can stage a mass breakout. However, the braggartly Rocky is not at all what it seems. Can he really help Ginger and the others find freedom before Mrs. Tweety hatches her foul plan to turn them all into chicken pies? You know this movie, I know this movie, everyone knows this movie, I think. It is wonderful. So that's why I'm starting with a little storytelling. This movie, I saw it when I was like 4 or 5. I love it. All my life I have seen it. All my life I will see it. It is amazing. I love Aardman's studios. I love their way of doing things and their character design. So it's like really raw stop motion, because this is the beginning of the stop motion. This is where they were using plastiline, and you see like all the default thingies on their faces when you move them, because when you touch plastiline, you see the fingerprints or the smudges on it. And I think that is the best part from what Aardman is. And the signature thing for me is not only their character design, but the way they open and close their mouth. It's kind of like they are so cartoony that they open too much their mouth and they go into a really big face every time they say something. I love that. And I remember watching this movie when I was a child, and I think I didn't understand much of the movie, but at the same time, I did understand it. And I loved all the chickens and all the fact that they were running and plotting and doing everything to get out of this chicken pen. And it was amazing. I just loved it so much that I watched it and rewatched it forever. So let's start with some cool information about the movie. This was Aardman's first full-length theatrical feature film. Because before that, Aardman, he only did like shorts films for British television. And then after some of them, like Wallace and Gromit and everything, they decided to try to do a full-length film. So there you go. That's how Chicken Run comes to be. And it was produced with DreamWorks Animation and Pathé Films. And it was directed by Peter Lord and Nick Park. This movie was released in June 2000, and it still remains the highest grossing stop motion animation film of all time. Can you imagine that? I will get more into it later, but wow, amazing. And the voice cast, the main one that everyone knows is Mel Gibson, and the other lead actors are Julia Sawalha and Miranda Richardson, and many others that do the chickens. I have some cool information on how they came up with this story. The co-director and producer, Nick Park, I love saying Nick Park, sorry, said that he had pet chickens when he was a kid, so his sister kept chickens as pets, and they loved to play with them, and they loved like to make skits about them in cartoons, so like they loved to create a story with them, and they were some heroes on them and everything. So that's pretty rare to have a chicken as a hero in a movie, so that's why they gave the idea of like, hey, this has never done before. He also said that when he was 17 years old, he was working on a foundation art course, and he did a couple of stints at a chicken packing factory, and one day he was sent to slaughterhouse, and he saw all the live chickens hanging on a conveyor belt. It was so sad. Well, it was horrifying for him. So in a way, chickens have been always in the back of his mind, and they were always there in his life. So I think that's why he thought like, oh, chickens. No one thinks of chickens to be a strong being. So he wanted to portray that on this movie. So he began to do this idea with Peter Lorre, and they discussed the concept of it. And they decided, let's do The Great Escape. It's a 1963 movie, American movie, I think. And it was like The Great Escape, but with chickens. So instead of humans and trying to get out of something, like a really serious movie, it would be chickens, the heroes. They started to pitch this idea to DreamWorks in January 1996. And the script was in the works at the time, but it was until October 1988, that could start the filming and all the production of these puppets and the voice casting and the set building and everything. So it happened a bit later on. One thing you have to keep in mind is like they cannot shoot anything from this film before doing a storyboard. So a storyboard is what you can see on the behind the scenes sometimes on animation films, that is like a vignette that will say what will happen in this second of this shot. So a shot could be something from 1 minute to 2 minutes, or like a sequence, because the sequence is way more time. But then the storyboard is to describe how they will move, how they will interact, how the positioning will be, how the camera will be, and everything, you know. That's what it gives this story a line before shooting it and before creating all these things for stop motion. Can you imagine the hundreds of drawings that they will have to do to just start something? So we haven't started the production yet, and it's already going in insane numbers. When the production of Chicken Run started, they were at some point up to 30 sets on shooting. So like they had 30 sets differently, and they were all shooting different things. And each set has one animator that it will take the camera and lighting and rigging. So he will have everything set on his little set with all his little puppets and everything. And he will be in charge of like taking a picture, move the puppet, taking a picture, move the puppet again, and be assigned to that part specifically. At the peak of the project, there were at least a crew of 200 people on Aardman. The majority of the people that were there were recruited locally, so that was a proud thing for Aardman, because they said like, we have the raw talent in England to do this, so that's nice. Before each animator started on their little minutes or stuff that they would have to do, they will have a visit and a rehearse with Peter and Nick, the directors of the movie, and they will rehearse the animation with them. So what it means is that they will act together the sequence and how the movements should be, how the facial expressions should be, and they will take reference to that. So they will do videos of them moving and doing these things so that they can replicate the same movement on the puppet. The movie Chicken Run ran for 84 minutes, so it's like a normal length for an animated film, but it took at least 18 months to shoot, so that's pretty long. Each week, the animators will have 6 seconds to finish because, like, it's too much stuff, you know? You have to move the puppet all the time. And for the voice artists, they recorded the lines in London mostly, and I think Mel Gibson did it on Canada. If I'm not wrong, I will check later. But yeah, they recorded their lines before the animation started, and they would sometimes re-record them because something happens, you know, like a script change or a subtle development happens or some characters get changed as well. But then we have the story that this movie was also co-produced with DreamWorks. So DreamWorks were the ones that they were gonna distribute the film and everything everywhere. So because of that, they had to be kept on the loop. So Jeffrey Katzenberg was the one that was the DreamWorks representative, and he will go again many times, 6 to 8 weeks, to see how the production is going, how it looks, the movie, and he will check how the movie will show, how the story is, what are they saying and everything. And so there will be the tiny issue that DreamWorks is an American film studio and Aardman is a British film studio. So Aardman wanted a Chicken Run that feels more British, so it has more like slang that is British and stuff like that, that is more pure to them. And then also, well, you have Jeffrey Katzenberg, DreamWorks one, that says, no, well, we want to appeal to American audiences. We have to make sure that the people understand. So there will be the big issue with the two studios. One example of the two cultures crashing into each other is that there was a line when Mrs. Tweedy uses a northern slang of the word wasok. So the meaning of wasok is stupid or annoying person. And she was referring to her husband their ways, because if you see the movie, she always hates her husband apparently. And Katzenberg said that in the US, no one will understand this. But at the same time, Peter Nick was saying, well, it's not a horrible word. Like, this word will get understood by the context of the situation. Because if she was talking and looking at him like, oh, you're so dumb, and then she says, oh, you're a wasok. I don't know how to use this word, sorry. But like, oh, you're a wasok. Then all the people will understand that this word is a bad word. It's kind of an insult to him. But, well, there was the fight of, is it gonna be readable for every audience? And after that, well, they said, well, it's an amusing word, and we will understand it. And at the end, Katzenberg say, okay, let's leave it. Not every time Aardman got what they wanted, but like, it was like part and part. Sometimes Katzenberg win, and sometimes Aardman, Peter and Nick will win. Let's talk about a little bit about the characters. So Ginger was created early on the project, and they really wanted to create this hen that will be passionate, and they will be like the ringleader and the one that wants freedom for his fellow chickens. And she was kind of referred to be the Big X. Big X was the organizer on the Great Escape movie, so they wanted her to be kind of like that. So the one that gets everyone to like, let's do this, let's go for the freedom. Freedom! Also, apparently the directors and everything, they wanted at some point a pair of twin chickens that never made it to the screen. They decided to scratch that off, and they replaced it with Fletcher and Nick, the pair of little rats that are so cute and they're like so funny. Another great character developed for the movie was the role of Fowler. So Fowler, if you look into this is the only male chicken in the coop, apart from Rocky that comes later on. But Fowler was portrayed to be a really English fellow, so a frightfully English RAF veteran. And he was from the 644 Squadron Poultry Division, you know? Remember what he said that. But yeah, so he was really English, and because he was kind of like this military one at the time and everything, he despised Americans. And when Rocky comes up, he's like, ah, oh, Americans. And he doesn't like it when he says, for example, oh, Americans, always showing up late for every war, overpaid, oversexed, and over here. And if you know, these words, this quote, was a phrase that it was really used during the Second World War by Britain. And yeah, so it passed on to this movie. He was such a funny character, Fowler, that even his slang was referenced from the RAF slang from the period. So the examples were really from the wartime banter and everything. And it was really well done. And they have a book with all the slang of the RAF there. And now we're gonna talk about Rocky Rhodes, the cool chicken on the coop. So at the time when they started developing Rocky, they didn't thought it would be that crucial for the movie until later, because he will be the Lone Ranger, the free one that will give Ginger this idea of like, we can all escape. If he can be free, we can all be free. But the story wasn't clear at the beginning. So the thing was, they were like, okay, they will meet, but how will they meet, you know? Because either he's outside, but how they meet. And at some point they say like, oh, let's make Rocky a foreigner. And at some point, wait for it, it was meant to be Irish. So the Irish Rocky Rhodes would have been so funny. But of course, because the audiences were meant to be American audiences and everything, they would say like, oh, well, it's a better idea if we want to make Rocky a foreigner to make an American one, so that the audiences can also relate to this character. Of course, he's a really American dude and everything, so he starts by doing jokes and all that stuff. An example of that was like when the hens ask him like, oh, what brings you to England, Mr. Rhodes? And he just replies, why, all the beautiful English chicks, of course. He's like, okay, that joke, it's on point. So yeah, this decision of making Rocky American was perfect, because the audience will get a point of view, like an American point of view in the film, and it fitted organically with all the plots and all the lines, and inspired also a lot of comedy in the film, because Rocky and Ginger are so funny together and the chemistry just went really good together. So it was Battle of the Sexes and Culture Divide all together in one. Going back to how Aardman started this thing, they started in a banana warehouse to produce the movie, to create it, but it was too small for them and too small for what they needed. They needed like a football field to create all the sets. So they found a vast space outside Bristol in which they had at least 30 sets, and they were overseeing 250 people. Inside, there was a load of people. When they finished the filming of the day and everything, all the footage was driven to Heathrow, that it was the closest laboratory to Bristol, and they will process the film overnight, drive back the following morning to see how the frames caught up. But like, yeah, there are more than 120,000 frames in the film. And the team filmed roughly 11 seconds per day for 18 months. So that's a lot of work. Oh my God. One big thing about the Aardman style was that they needed to check if this kind of models will look good in a big screen. Because before that, as I told you before, like, they only did short films for TV screens. They look good in a small TV, but look good in a giant movie screen. That was the question. At one point, they decided to record a footage and everything the way they will do it, the Aardman style, with all the little like imperfections on the plastiline. They will look at it in a cinema and look if it will hold up. But there was a big thing that happened at that time. There was a division between the people that wanted to keep the Aardman style, the faulty way, not fault, but like the imperfect way. And there was the people that were like, okay, we need to hamp it up and like be more perfectionist with it. So after seeing the movie on the cinema, or like a shot of Mrs. Tweedy, they said, oh my God, we can possibly leave it that rough because it looked horrendous. That's what Tristan Oliver said after seeing the footage. So it was clear that they needed to do a more smoothing Armand style without all the imperfections. Another great thing about the puppets is like the animators for animating their work, their seconds that they have on that day, they had a dialogue cheat. And in that same cheat, they will have breaking down the lines phonetically. So they will know which vowel, which mouth shape they will use for these parts. That was to save time. And also there were pre-made mouth shapes that were for each character and that could be pop on and pop off easily on the head. As I told you before, when we were talking about Coraline and all the stop motion animation, they replaced some parts of his face. So like mainly the mouth, because it's the hardest part to move. They even said that there was a bank of assistant animators that were consistently producing new mouths. Every time you have a new mouth, they're ready to pick up. Because sometimes you will have too much manipulation on that little piece and you probably the ooh shape of your puppet was already too smudgy, too like mashed up, so they will have to use a new one, so they have a bank of new faces to apply. A comment of Imelda Stoughton that she voiced Bounty the chicken? Bounty? I think it's Bounty. She says that the voice recordings also did an impact on how the shapes will be, because if they did something that they like, then they say, okay, let's go back and make a 400 pair of lips for that word so that we can use it. So they will impact a lot the production of the shapes. To finish off the film information, you will know that Chicken Run is the most successful stop frame film of all time. Its closest comparison was The Night Before Christmas, that made $88 million, but compared to Chicken Run made $224 million. It was a God-driven thing. Amazing. Now, let's talk about something that is being hopping off a lot and is the allegory of this movie. Some people are considering to be an allegory of the Holocaust, so of the Second World War. And then there's some other people that they say that this is an allegory to Marxist revolution. And, well, there's a specter of communism there or stuff like that. But yeah, these people are going really into the examination of the movie. But I will say that it goes more into the World War II kind of allegory because of the following.
Hear me out.
So the movie was inspired by the Great Escape. As we said before, Peter and Nick decided this would be the Great Escape, but with chickens. So let's go back just a few things with the Great Escape. The Great Escape is an American movie of war and adventure of 1963. And in this movie, it's based on the 1950 nonfiction book of the same name by Paul Brickhills. So this book and this movie talk about prisoners of war. So during the Second World War, there was like some camps dedicated to prisoners of Germany. So Germany had some camps that were called POW camps, Stalag Luft 3. And there were some British army that were prisoners on there. I think there was it. I don't know if there was other type of armies there, but like whoever they caught, they will go into these camps. And these camps look a lot like the concentration camps of the Jewish people. So going back to the look of the Chicken Run, we see a lot that kind of like period time in there, because if you see, all the chicken coops look like a Holocaust camp. They are really dark and it's filthy and it's all gray. Everything is dead inside. There's nothing green, there's nothing good, everything is bad. Even the houses have the same kind of shape that the Holocaust. And if you go inside and look at it, the chicken beds, I will say, are kind of the same as the Holocaust. So as the concentration camps, they were all stacked together, many of them in one coop. They didn't have anything else. Also, when Mrs. Tweedy comes in to do the checkups of the chickens, is the same kind of process that the Nazis did during the Second World War. And so if you see documentaries or either movies about these camps, you can see that every time there was a Nazi police that would come in and say, okay, we're gonna go by the list. And they will call everyone on the list. They will check on them and they will be all in a line together. For me, this is really present on this movie. And I didn't look at it before when I was a child, you know, because I was not instructed in the history of the world at that time. But then when I got older and I look more into it, I see the clear allegory there. Also, a big thing as well that is clearly there is, for example, when they do the patrol. When Mr. Tweedy goes around all the coops and checks that no chicken is out of there, and he goes with the dogs and everything. So it's the same thing that happened on the Jewish concentration camps. The place where the chickens are is all closed by a cage thingy, a metal thingy, and it was kind of the same as how those concentration camps were. It was exactly the same. So even if it's not a concentration camp per se, it could be, but it's also like an allegory of the Great Escape. So it's a prisoner of war camp. And if you look into the history, the camps are almost the same, almost as dirty, almost as bad. You can see also little details on this allegory. That is, for example, Mr. Tweedy's haircut. It looked a lot like you know who. And also the other shots is when Mrs. Tweedy enters the chicken coop to make the rounds. The shot of only her boots is really significant to that time. When if you see movies of the Second World War, you will see always those kind of shots making the person on the boot really like intense, and this is the one with the power and who you be afraid of. So myself, I believe in that allegory. Then there's some other people that talk about the Marxist thing and the communist coup that is happening, and that Ginger is like an echo of anti-capitalist call for Utopia. So if she wants an anti-capitalist thing because Ginger is the communist one, and then Mrs. Tweedy is the one that is like, oh, I'm capitalist and I want to all my chickens to produce this because I want money. Maybe, but I'm not too sure about this allegory. I think it's more the one that I talked to you before. Well, friends, it is the time that you all been waiting for, is the fun facts. First fun fact. Did you know that we never see Ginger and Rocky kiss beaks on the movie? So you see on the movie many times that Ginger and Rocky are about to kiss, but every time they're interrupted. So that kind of joke has a purpose behind. The people that were working on the film, so the directors and everything, said that it would be off-putting and weird to see two chickens kiss. Why? Because they have beaks. It's not because they're chickens, it's because they have beaks. So because of the beaks, it will look really weird because, you know, it will be like just picking on their mouth. So it will be really weird. And the only time that we see both of them kiss is towards the end, and it's in an angle that purposely hides their beaks. Now you know. Second fun fact. Did you know Chicken Run helped introduce a new Oscar category? So when the time came for the Oscar, Chicken Run was not nominated to a single award. And everyone was shocked about this because it was a fan favorite to win the Best Picture Award of the 73 Academy Awards. At the end, it went to Gladiator. But at that time, there was not Best Animated Feature Film. So they gave the credits and the kudos to Aardman and Chicken Run for creating the Best Animated Feature category on the Oscars. Third fun fact. Did you know one of the animators was a Taekwondo instructor? One of the 250 animators that were on the set was a Taekwondo instructor. And thanks to this, they include something of this on the film. So there was like a training sequence when they're trying to escape and everything, that they are doing a workout routine. It is a Taekwondo move. So that's great. Fourth fun fact. Did you know that Mel Gibson was the only one to record his lines in America? So, as you know, Mel Gibson gave the voice to Rocky Rhodes. So, he was the only American actor on the cast because the rest of them were British. So, everyone was making their lines and recording their lines in Bristol, England. But Gibson was the only one to do it in the United States. Fifth and final fun fact. It was a lot of work to bring a chicken to life. So, as we talked before, the stop motion of Aardman has plastiline, and plastiline is not one of the strongest materials in the planet. So, the thing is that when they were doing their work and everything, sometimes the chickens get too mushy, they get too imperfect. So, the animators had several chickens made for the film. Only 3-4 chickens could be made in a single week, and to animate a second of the film, the puppet had to be moved and photographed 24 times. Oh my god, the work. Well, friends, this is pretty much everything for today, and I hope you love this episode as I love doing the comparisons and all the cool information about the movie. I love this movie, really. Chicken Run is the best. I really suggest that you go and watch it. I think it is in Netflix if you are in Canada and maybe American side, so you can see it on there. If you know that there is another Chicken Run movie made recently. It was released last year. It's Chicken Run 2, The Dawn of the Nugget. And if you like Chicken Run 1, you will love Chicken Run 2. I already watched it. It's really good. You can check both in Netflix. Remember to follow us on Instagram. Check us out at Alili Movie Podcast. I do some cool reels about fun facts about movies, and not only the ones that we're talking on the podcast, but also all the ones that I have not talked yet. So if you like movie stuff, go hear me out and go check out all my reels. Go follow! Quick news also, we are starting to do some stickers and Redbubble, so it will come out soon, I hope. I still need 4 other designs, but yes, it will come out shortly. I will let you know on Instagram and maybe on the episode of the podcast. So keep your eyes peeled, keep your ears pierced. Thank you so much for supporting the podcast, and see you guys next time. Bye, friends.